Good morning. My name is Lenora Russo, and I am one of the pastors here at Trinity. It is my privilege to be able to welcome you to worship this morning. If you are here with us on a regular basis, it is always a joy to be able to share this time with you. And if this is your first time here among us, we're especially glad that you chose to be with us. And we hope and pray that what you experience today enables you to know that you are welcome here, but more than that, that you will experience the Holy Spirit in a tangible and meaningful way for you today. I want to point your attention just briefly to our connection card. It is newly loose in your bulletin. No more tearing. But if you will take a moment now to pull that out of your bulletin and begin filling that out. If you're here to worship regularly, just your name and email would be wonderful. And if you are new to our community, as much information as you are willing to share with us, we will gratefully receive. It does help us keep connected to you. If you have prayer requests, please feel free to put those on there as well. This morning, our mission box is Porch to Solomon, and they serve in the Guatemala communities, creating an atmosphere of love and grace in the home for their friends and family to share the gospel with the people there. I invite you to read more about that in your bulletin and consider giving generously as you exit today at any one of the five mission boxes we have as you exit the worship center. Today marks Pentecost, so we are celebrating this morning in the life of the church. And what we are celebrating is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead and 10 days after he ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon all the disciples who were gathered there in Jerusalem, and they began sharing the gospel with everyone around them in the language that that person could hear and understand. And that enabled 3,000 people to hear the gospel in a way that made sense to them, and they committed their lives to following Christ that very same day. We consider it the birthday of the church. And it's in that same spirit that we want to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. The Holy Spirit is still pouring itself out across the universe and looking to welcome all into unity with God and with each other. And so in that spirit this morning, I say to you, welcome home. Will you take a moment to greet those around you? And if there is somebody you don't know, please make sure you introduce yourself to them.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able and join as we begin our worship together.
Come on. like the people gathered on that day of Pentecost. Come, Holy Spirit, rush into our hearts and quicken our souls. Empower us by your Spirit to live a life more faithful to God. And now would you please join me in affirming our faith together using the words before you on the screen of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Have the privilege now to join our hearts together and go to God in prayer. And we acknowledge that everyone comes here for worship on Sundays from different places. Places of joy where you want to celebrate and give thanksgiving and praise to God for the work of His Spirit in and through your life. And then places of concern where things weigh heavy on your heart. And so we'll enter into a time of silence where you can pray to God in the quiet of your heart. You might, in that time, want to remember the names of these folks from the you see on the screen here. These are people who are receiving nurture and care from our congregational care team. And we also, of course, want to remember our brothers and sisters in London this morning as well. Now let us unite our hearts and go to God. Give you thanks for the gift of your Spirit in our lives and in our church, for the gifts you give to each of us to create your beloved community here on earth, for all of creation that it may be honored and preserved and protected, for all that you have given and will yet give, we give you thanks. For the leaders of our nation and all nations of the world, that they may be guided with wisdom and understanding and committed to act in ways that bring your presence and peace, we pray, come, Holy Spirit. For all places where there are wars and rumors of wars, for all those places where hunger gnaws, for those places ruled by oppression and injustice, for those places where hatred seeks to overcome love, we pray, come, Holy Spirit. For all who are ill, whether in body, mind, or spirit, for all who mourn, whether for the loss of loved ones, the loss job, or even the loss of faith, fill them with your Spirit of compassion and strength and healing, that they might know they are never alone. Open our hearts to your Spirit, renew us with your passionate fire, and make us Pentecost people who reach out in love and caring to all the world. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, our Father, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Followers of Jesus Christ committed to making a difference in the world, it is our privilege on Sundays to give of ourselves, to give back to God from which He gave to us. Our tithes and our offerings that help us as a church to respond to the ways that God's Spirit is leading us. And so let us worship God with offering. O Lord, giver of life, of salvation, of the Holy Spirit, we thank you for the gifts you continue to pour upon us. Take these gifts we return to you and use them for your glory now and forevermore. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray.
break you up and get you ready to worship, right? So for the last few weeks, we've been looking at the seven next words of Jesus. Many of you are familiar with the phrase, the seven last words of Jesus. Those are the seven words or phrases that Jesus spoke from the cross during his resurrection. And since Easter, we've been looking at the seven next words of Jesus, the seven words or phrases that Jesus shared with the disciples and followers during his resurrection appearances. Now, as we think about those seven next words of Jesus, this morning's words are not found in the Gospel of Luke, but actually in the book of Acts. Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, and in writing them to Theophilus, he said this. He said, the book of Luke is about the acts and the teachings of Jesus. But the second book, the book of Acts, is about the acts of the followers of Jesus. Thus, the acts of the apostles. So this morning, we turn and look at the seventh of the last of the next words of Jesus. And we read from the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, at the very beginning, in the opening scene, Jesus, Luke shares with us the details of Jesus' ascension. He has been with the disciples, and now he is ascending up into heaven. And in that scene, we get details about what Jesus says to his disciples, and more details about what that looks like. And it's in that scene that we hear this seventh or last So let me invite you to read along with me on the screen the words from the beginning of the book of Acts. Theophilus, the first scroll I wrote concerned everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning, right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. Before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, "This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As a result, those who gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you all will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After Jesus said these things, and as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood next to him. They said, "Galileans, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, "Thanks be to God." Let me invite you now to bow your heads this morning and pray for me and share in the presence of you. And I'll pray for you that God. Thank you. begins by telling us that it's been 40 days since the resurrection of Christ. 40 days, this time of preparation for the disciples. During those 40 days, before he was taken up, Jesus spent that time giving instructions and teaching to the disciples about what was going to come. Those 40 days remind us of the 40 days that Moses spent when he was up on Mount Sinai, when he received the law and instruction from God. Those 40 days also remind us of the 40 days that Elijah spent in the desert when he was fleeing in fear for his life. And he was there in the desert, and that's when God cared for him and fed him, and he was prepared for what the future would hold. And of course, those 40 days remind us of the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness when he was tempted and tested, that time of preparation before he began his public ministry. And then here, again, we have those 40 days that Jesus was teaching his disciples, and it was also a time of preparation. It was an anxious and in-between time for those disciples. His friend and companion, their teacher and their Lord, had been executed. We all know what those in-between times can feel like. This weekend here in Gainesville, many seniors graduated from high school. And this summer will be an in-between time, a time of preparation for both them and for their parents. Some of you have experienced that in-between time as you have transitioned from one job to another. Sometimes that in-between time is an exciting time, like the time that you wait for the birth of a child. And then sometimes those in-between times are more difficult times. The in-between time after the death of a loved one. And you're wondering what lies ahead and how you will go on. The disciples had 40 days of in-between time. And now Jesus gives them one last piece of advice, one last word of instruction. He says, wait for the gift. Don't leave Jerusalem. Just stick together and wait for the promise of the Father to come to you. Wait for the gift. He says they have been baptized with water, but they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Of course, they don't really understand exactly what he means by that. So they ask him if he is going to immediately restore the kingdom of Israel. Little do they know that their vision of restoring the kingdom of Israel is much too small. Jesus isn't going to restore the kingdom, the government of Israel. Jesus has been talking about restoring the kingdom of God, the reign of God on earth. And Jesus hasn't been talking about just the restoration of Israel, of one people. He's been talking about the restoration of the world, the transformation of all of creation. Jesus says to them, it's not important that you know the timing of all of this. What is important is that you will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And right at that moment, he is taken up into heaven. It, to me, reminds me of the end of the movie E.T. They're standing there, and they're just looking at him being raised up into heaven. And then all of a sudden, like a newer extraterrestrial movie, two men in black, looking like Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith. No, not really. Some of you don't even know who. Anyway. They really were two men in white, and they looked like Moses and Elijah. And they came and said to the disciples, what are you doing standing there looking up to heaven saying, heaven help us, get going. You have got to get going because you have as the two men tell them, they leave the Mount of Olives and they go back to Jerusalem and they do two things while they wait for the gift. They sit together and they pray. Luke tells us that when they went back to Jerusalem and they went to that upstairs room at the bed and breakfast where they had been staying, it was 12 of the disciples and the faithful women and the brothers of Jesus, and they stayed together and they were united in their devotion to prayer. Wait for the gift. For us today, that's a difficult thing to do. Waiting is not our natural inclination. If those two men in white told us to get going, we would likely begin taking action immediately. We don't know what that action would be, but we would take action for sure. We are an action-oriented society. We can't stand to wait, even just for a few seconds. How much does it frustrate you when that little spinny thing comes up on your computer screen and you have to wait for even 10 seconds? We are an action-oriented people. Even 10 seconds feels like an eternity. But that's exactly what Jesus told us to do. Wait. Wait for the gift. You see, our waiting signifies that the things which need doing are beyond our control to accomplish on our own. When you look around the world today, when you think about what happened just yesterday, isn't that the truth? Our waiting signifies that the things that we need to do are beyond our ability to accomplish on our own. Our waiting indicates that we need the gift. We can't do it on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Word power comes from the Greek word dunamis, from which we get our words dynamite and dynamo and dynamic. That's the kind of power with which the Spirit enables us. Think about it. After the death of Jesus, and even after the resurrection, those disciples were typically timid and afraid. They huddled together in disbelief. They didn't know what to do. And so they went back to their everyday routine lives. Jesus had risen, but their fear captivated these would-be witnesses. So Jesus tells them to wait for the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, as we celebrate Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus ascended, we celebrate the actual coming of that gift. Suddenly a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames alighting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And filled with that power, those timid witnesses found their tongues. Peter emerged from his cowardice to preach a message by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, he says. Your young will see visions and your elders will dream dreams. And with the power of the Holy Spirit that day, a small band of disciples and women did fulfill what Jesus called them to do, to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. You know, in praying about this scripture this week, I began to think about you, Trinity. You know, you are still in a time of transition. Your beloved minister of 22 years retired a year ago this weekend. And this has been vision. Almost 2 decades ago, after much prayer and coming together, you embraced a dream of moving to this property. You didn't want the 8th Avenue location to inhibit you from being able to grow and make disciples and share the good news. You built buildings and you built sports fields and you reached out to the community and invited them in. And most recently, you embraced the dream and made it a reality of being set free. Over the years, you have also embraced visions of being an inclusive community committed to love and compassion. In the face of hatred, you embraced peace, hope, and understanding, and were a witness to the community and even across the nation for building bridges of love and being a witness to the community about love and respecting our Muslim brothers and sisters. You have stood up to bigots, harassing mourners. You've embraced those with disabilities by building an accessible playground, and more importantly, being open and welcoming to people with disabilities. You've embraced the vision of clean water in Malawi and take homes in Appalachia and training ministers in Russia. I wonder what vision God has for us now. Whatever it is, it has to be something that we cannot accomplish on our own. Whatever the dream is, I'm sure that the Holy Spirit will bring it to reality. So how do we discern that dream? How do we catch that new vision? We wait for the gift. Will Willimon says, our waiting and praying indicate the gift of the Holy Spirit is never an assured possession of the church. It is a gift that must be constantly sought anew in prayer until those who know the facts also experience the power. They do well to wait in the room. Well, to follow the example of the disciples and the faithful women. One, to stay together, and two, to pray. In light of that, I have 2 challenges for you for this summer. First of all, to make worship a priority. That's the time for us to come together as a congregation. It was when the people of Jesus gathered together in one place, that the Holy Spirit was poured out on all of them. Living into our faith, listening for the direction of God together. That's what we do in worship. Stay together. And two, I invite you to join me in prayer. This summer I challenge you to be in prayer for Trinity, for us as a people, every day. And to listen for God's direction so that our young will see visions and our elders will dream dreams. I invite you to pray to God to make clear a new vision for Trinity. And once a week, I invite you to join me if you are able. Every Tuesday afternoon from 5 to 6, I'll be in the chapel praying. And I invite you to come and to pray with me. Who knows, maybe we'll run out of space and we'll have to come over here. I invite you to join me in silent prayer as we speak and as we listen for God's vision for Trinity. For God to share with us what been a coward, began to preach. And at the end of that day, 3,000 people were baptized. Now that's one great work. What is the work to which God is calling us? And will we be bold enough to follow where the Spirit is? I look forward to taking that next step with you.
last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. In the beginning, your Spirit moved over the face of the waters. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of when we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. Your Spirit came upon prophets and teachers, anointing them to speak your word. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. At his baptism in the Jordan, your Spirit descended upon him and declared him your beloved Son. With your Spirit upon him, he turned away the temptations of sin. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, as on the day of Pentecost. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ so that we might rise up and go out as the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. Now empower us by the gifts of your Spirit. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, showing forth the fruit of the Spirit until Christ comes in final victory and we cease at His heavenly kingdom. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come and meet us at the altar. Thank you. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the mystery of your grace as we have received it at this table. Having been nourished, may we go out to live in